Good morning, Bridgeway. Is the Lord's presence not here? I feel his presence. I am expectant on what he is getting ready to do in our midst today. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning? Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful to Dr. Anderson for trusting me to close out this four-week series that we've been in called Bold. How many of you have been blessed by this series? Amen. As Dr. Anderson has taught us about bold courage and bold strength and bold hope, and my assignment today is bold faith. I'm excited about what the Lord has given me to share and anxious to get started. I'm shaking, not because I'm nervous, because I'm actually anxious on what the Lord might do today. So with that said, would you all join me in this dedicating our time to the Lord? Father, we thank you so much for your grace of allowing us to be here in this moment together right now. And Lord God, you define faith in your word in Hebrews chapter 11 as confidence in what we hope for and assurance in what we do not see. So Father, I pray right now that we would bring our hope to the table and we would have confidence in what we're hoping for, and we will be sure that it will happen. Lord God, that you would raise our expectations this morning on what you will do, even today, Lord God, and that we will not walk out the same way that we came in. In the name of Jesus, I pray that you would move on disease this morning. I pray that you would move on addiction this morning. I pray you will move on broken dreams this morning, Lord God. And Lord God, that we will be transformed and you will enter this place and we won't be the same. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Well, happy Palm Sunday, Bridgeway. And I'm so excited about Palm Sunday. I always am, because Palm Sunday is a triumphant moment in our Savior's life as he rides into Jerusalem on a donkey to praise and adoration. And next Sunday, we get to celebrate the triumphant moment. We get to celebrate our Savior being resurrected from the dead to defeat sin and death forever. But there was an in-between, wasn't there? That in between that week, it got challenging. It got dark. It was hard for our Savior. And I find that's how our lives are too. Right, I know for myself, I tend to think about my triumphant moments, my mountaintop moments. I talk about those. I praise the Lord. I thank him for his goodness. But there's always an in-between. How many of you have been through an in-between before? How many of you are in an in-between right now? You know, I'm talking about the surprise cancer diagnosis. Everything was going along just fine, and then you got the news from the doctor. I'm talking about when you raised that child for 18 years to serve the Lord, and they've turned their back on him. I'm talking about the child that you're believing will be yours, but you haven't seen that child yet. That these in-between moments can take our hope away. They can crush our spirit. But may I submit to you that bold faith is what gets us through the in-between to our victory. I love this definition by Corrie Ten Boom. She defines faith as seeing the invisible, believing the unbelievable, and receiving the impossible. I just love that. Seeing the invisible, believing the unbelievable, and receiving the impossible. I would like to submit to you that bold faith is our weapon when we're in the in-between. When what we are seeing, what we're feeling, what we're experiencing tells us that there's no hope, it is bold faith that we use to fight that feeling to get to our mountaintop. Amen? I want you all to turn with me today to a passage of scripture. In John chapter 6, verses 16 through 21, it's actually a very popular passage of scripture. And there's actually two parallel texts to this story. You'll find the same story in Matthew chapter 14. And then you'll also find it in Mark chapter 6. I will not read those passages in totality this morning. I will reference scriptures for them. I want you to take a picture. I asked them to put those passages on the screen. Take a picture, write them down, because if you really want to get the full story of what they call in the Bible, it's titled Jesus Walking on the Water, you have to read all three. Every author gives a little bit of a different detail to understand what was happening in this story. So all of you post-sermon studiers, you'll want to read all three passages. But we're just going to read John chapter 6 this morning. Let me set the passage in some context for us. This passage is right after Jesus has fed the 5,000 with the two fish and the five loaves that one of the disciples got from the little boy. And the crowd is in a frenzy after he commits this great miracle. And Jesus' desire is to step away from the frenzy and be by himself. There's a lesson in that. And as Jesus is stepping away, he sends the disciples who are traveling with him away by boat to their next destination. And this is where we pick up the story. So I'm going to start from verse 16. And it says, when evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, where they got into a boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum. By now, it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing, and the waters grew rough. How many of you have had a strong wind all of a sudden start blowing on you, and the waters grow rough? This is the life battles, the faith tests that we get. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I. Don't be afraid." Then they were willing. Then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately. How many of you want an immediate healing? Immediate restoration. Immediate transformation. Amen. The boat reached the shore where they were heading. Amen. The title of my message today is Jesus in the boat. Jesus in the boat. And I have been praying and fasting for the last 2 weeks with faith that Jesus is on his way to someone's cancer this morning. He's on his way to someone's addiction this morning. He's on his way to someone's broken marriage this morning. All you have to do is let him into your boat. I want you to look at your neighbor and just encourage them and say, he's on his way. He's on his way to you. Don't worry. Don't give up hope. Have faith. He's on his way to you. I want you to look at another neighbor and say, let him in. You got to let him in. You got to let him into the boat. Amen. Well, church, as I was studying this, I use this passage because I think it really gave us good lessons about what happens when our faith is being tested, how our faith is tested. Just in the disciples' journey while they're in the boat, the first thing I noticed is that they had a number of fishermen in that boat. There's no way this was the first time that they had been through rough water. No way. They had experienced this before. But somehow, this was different. This was overwhelming to them. And so it is with our lives, that there are things that we've gone through before and we've gotten through just fine. We've walked through just fine. I'm talking about when we lose someone close to us, even a loved one. But then the same thing happens. Maybe we lose that beloved parent that was everything to us. And yes, it might be the same thing, but that grief knocks us on our back. And then we're fighting life as hard as we possibly can. That's when our faith is tested. The second thing I noticed is that as Jesus is approaching the boat, In Mark's telling of the story, it says that he almost passed them. And there's a lesson in that too, that we can get so focused on the battle, so focused on the fight, that we can miss the victory standing right in front of us. We can miss the Savior standing right in front of us. Third thing I notice is that when we go through these fights, these faith tests, trauma happens. And you may say, I don't see that in the passage, but when you read all three passages, they were traumatized. You wanna know how I know? That when Jesus showed up, the Mark and Matthew versions say they thought he was a ghost. They thought the Savior of the world was a ghost. And what happens when we go through trauma in our life is that we start to not believe that deliverance is possible, that breakthrough is possible. And this happens all the time. I'm thinking about someone who got out of a toxic relationship. Praise the Lord that you got out of a toxic relationship. But then the Lord sends the one, and all you see is a ghost. All you see is the ghost of the last relationship in the new relationship. The trauma did that to us. It does that to us. But I am so glad that the good news is contained in this passage. The word says that it was their will to let him in the boat. And when they let him in the boat, they arrived at their destination immediately. So I believe that as we let Jesus in our boat today, and I don't know what your storm is, I don't know what your rocky water is, but he will immediately get you to your destination. There will be immediate victory. Hallelujah. Well, as I was preparing for this, there was a ton of faith stories that I've experienced personally or I've had family members experience that started rushing in. And there was one story that I had to share this morning, and it was of my sister's birth. When my sister was born, I was 4 years old. She wasn't breathing. And my parents heard the words you never want to hear when you've had a child born. The doctors panicking, saying, breathe, baby. Breathe, baby. Breathe, baby. And she let out just a small cry. That's all they could get. And then they rushed her out of the room. And then church, the doctor came back in to talk to my parents. And what the doctor said was, if your daughter makes it through the night, if, she's gonna have brain damage. I just wanna prepare you for that. And my parents, like the disciples, all of a sudden hit some wind, hit some rocky water. They were overwhelmed. They started grieving. And my dad coming home to check on me and to get some clothes to bring back to the hospital was sitting in the place where he had his quiet times in the house. And admittedly, he was grieving. He was accepting the report of the doctor. But then the Lord spoke to him. And my dad tells the story of the Lord saying, Kevin, you asked me for a daughter, didn't you? And my dad answered the Lord, and he said, yes, I did. And he said, I gave you a daughter. Take authority of this. So my dad called my Aunt Teresa, and everyone needs an Aunt Teresa in their family. My Aunt Teresa, when she prays, I feel like she calls angels down from heaven. And he asked my Aunt Teresa to call the prayer warriors. And she did. And they started praying and believing. I believe there's a picture on the screen. And this is what they saw. They saw my sister with tubes up her throat, her breathing being assisted. But I want my sister to stand right now. Jay, can you stand? Praise the Lord. My sister is 36 today. She has a master's degree. The doctor said she was gonna have brain damage. She has a thriving career, and she loves the Lord. That is the evidence of the greatness of our God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In church, I just want to say, in that moment, my parents bet on Jesus. They saw that picture, but they decided to have confidence in what they hoped for and assurance in what they could not see. That picture said the doctor's report was true, but what they saw was we serve a God who can heal. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And that's all that Jesus wants from us. That's all he needs from us in these challenging moments. For him to move, he needs us to bet on him. He needs us to make the bet on his goodness, on his healing power, on his strength. So church, how do we make this bet? I believe the Holy Spirit gave me a way for us to remember how to bet on Jesus. The B in bet, believe. The E in bet, expect. The T in bet, trust. So let's study this a little further. Let's study how we make the bet on Jesus. First, believe. What are we supposed to believe? We're supposed to believe this core promise in the Word of God, that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Church, there's a truth about our Savior, and it's that he always sees us. We're never out of his sight. Never. Let's look at the story that we're studying of the disciples in this boat. And in Mark, the Mark version, Mark chapter 6, verses 47 through 48, it says this. Later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land, he being Jesus. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. I want to encourage someone today who came into the sanctuary believing that no one sees you, that God doesn't see you. He doesn't see your struggle, that he sees you. He loves you. He's praying for you. He's on his way to you. In church, we've seen evidence of this, even here. About a month ago, we had a gentleman come into this sanctuary with an eviction notice in his back pocket. Church, by the end of the service, he was here at the altar as people were dropping money in a basket. The money overflowed that basket and ended up paying 3 months of his rent. Hallelujah. And the thing that is powerful about this is as we, the body of believers, were blessing this gentleman, all he was saying was, he sees me. He sees me. He sees me. And he sees you too. He sees you too. He sees you. And I just want to rebuke a lie of the enemy. One of the enemy's biggest tricks is to tell us that God doesn't love us. To tell us, if we're in shame, that God has given up on us, that he doesn't see us, that he's left us. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus, because the word of God says opposite. In Romans 8, the word of God says that Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. The word of God says that the Holy Spirit, for all of us who have chosen to receive Jesus in our lives, the Holy Spirit who dwells inside of us is praying for us in wordless groans. Oh, it's the opposite, that he doesn't see you. He's praying for you. Hallelujah. So let's go to the second in bet. So there's the believe and then there's the expect. We need to expect that our struggle is going to reveal his glory. Church, a truth about our Savior is that when he shows up to our trouble, he's going to show out. You can trust on that. You can bet on that. Because everywhere Jesus goes, glory is with him. He can't walk anywhere without his glory. Hallelujah. So let's see what happened in this story when Jesus shows up on the scene. And the scripture says in John 6:19, when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water. No one had ever done that before. And they were frightened. In church, in all of the tellings of this story, it does not say that Jesus calmed the rocky water. So that means he was walking on top of the storm. And that is the word of God, that Jesus just walks on top of whatever may drown us. Jesus walks on it. Jesus walks on it. What does the word of God say? It says that the enemy shall be his what? Footstool. What does the word of God say? It says that he will crush the head of the serpent. So church, I believe that Jesus is gonna walk on some cancer this morning. He's gonna walk on some disease this morning. He's gonna walk on some high blood pressure this morning. How many of you wanna join me and say, Jesus, just walk on it, Jesus. Just walk on it, Jesus. Just walk on it. Walk on top of it, Jesus. Hallelujah. So the third thing we see here is the hardest thing in the bet. We must trust in his perfect timing. We must trust in his perfect timing. You know, when I get into some rough waters, I gotta tell you all, I want him to come right away. I don't wanna have to row in the water. No, thank you. Please come, help me now. But that often isn't the case, church. That he will have his eyes on us, but sometimes he's interceding that we could just persevere. And one thing I know is that he always comes on time. His timing is impeccable because he's gonna get the thing he wants to get out of us in the trial. You know, last time I was here, I preached on perseverance. And what we learned is that perseverance produces character, and character produces hope, and that he will not let our hope be put to shame. So church, his timing is always with purpose, always with purpose. What we see in this story is in Matthew chapter 14, verse 25 of the story, it says, shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. He got his eyes on them in the middle of the night. So that means they had to go through the struggle. In the story of Lazarus, he got the news that Lazarus was sick, but he did not go to him for 2 days. And Lazarus died in between those 2 days. And it took him 4 days to get there. When he showed up, Lazarus was dead and stinking. But what did he tell the disciples? He told them that Lazarus was dead and that he died to reveal the glory of the Son. It was with purpose, church. And this point makes me think of an old song that my grandparents used to sing, that my dad and my mom used to sing. I used to hear it around the house. And I may have some seasoned saints in here who know the song, He's an On-Time God. Do y'all know that song? And what does the chorus say? He's an on-time God. Sing it with me if you know it. Yes, he is. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. He may not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord that we serve an on-time God. So let's review. Let's review how to make this bet. We must believe that he will never leave us or forsake us. We must expect that our struggle will reveal his glory, and we must trust in his perfect timing. Well, church, as I was reflecting on this, I started thinking, this is great, and this is practical, and we need to live this out, especially when we're in challenge and trial. But Holy Spirit, sometimes I need an emergency button. How many of you just need an emergency button? You can't remember all the fancy points that the preacher gave you, right? I just need something I can press and can activate this thing right away. And the Holy Spirit was gracious, and he gave me two practical applications. And the first one is this. We need to call on his name. I'm so glad that we have a Lord and Savior who responds to his name, that his name is enough, that we don't need to say anything else. When we call his name, he shows up. Amen? There's power in his name. The demons tremble at the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, church, let's see. What did the disciples do in this story? They lived this out. It says in Mark 6:49, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost and they cried out. I imagine in their fear, Jesus, is that you? Jesus, we need you. And let's look at how Jesus responded. Because they all saw him and were terrified, immediately, and there's another immediately, he spoke to them and he said, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. He responded to his name. And Romans 10:13 tells us that all who call on the what? The name of the Lord shall be saved. Church, in high school, I think I was in ninth grade. I was coming back from a basketball game. My mom came to pick me up. And we were driving on the highway, and there was a truck ahead of us. And there was a metal object on the road. And that truck hit that metal object perfectly. And it propelled back at our car, and it was heading right towards my head. And my mom, in that moment, did not have time to say a long prayer. She did not have time to recite the scriptures that she knows, and she knows scripture. All she could get out was, Jesus! All she could do was cry out to our Savior. And church, the thing that was heading with speed right at my head, all of a sudden, this bounce down on the ground. It was like Jesus just batted it down out of the air. And church, I believe, as I was preparing for this morning, that there's someone in here, you got something heading towards you. And I want you to remember, just call on the name of Jesus. And that which meant to take you out, he's just going to bat it down. That no weapon formed against you will prosper. Hallelujah. So that's the emergency button. That's the first step to it. We just need to call on his name. The second, we must take a step towards him. In church, we see this in this story, and we see this in probably one of the more popular passages of scripture, Peter walking on the water. And we see it in Matthew chapter 14, verses 28 through 29. Verse 28, Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. And I believe, church, that Peter was not walking confidently. I believe that Peter was tepid and that he was shaking as he walked. But as long as he had his eyes on the Savior, the glory that Jesus has all of a sudden came on Peter. And he was walking on the water, scared, frightened. And as he was frightened, he was living out Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your path. As I was preparing for this, there was a story in my own life, my own faith walk, that I knew I had to share. And it's a core part of my testimony.
About 8 or 9 years ago, church, I was a follower of Christ. I believed in Christ. But there were things in my life that did not align with that. And I was wrestling with that. And the Lord never left me. He never forsook me. I would pray to him, God, help me. Help me get through this. Help me to be in alignment with you. And I would feel his presence every time. But church, it got to a moment where I was in this very sanctuary. I was sitting right over here. And as I was sitting down, Dr. Anderson had finished his sermon. And he said, there's someone here who you love, God. You are saved. But you need to get some things in alignment with his word. I knew he was talking to me. In church, as he was finishing up his exhortation, I knew I had to respond. And you may not know it by what I'm doing right now, but church, I'm an introvert. And also, social situations give me some anxiety. And in that moment, I pushed through that and I stood up scared. Because sometimes we have to walk in bold faith scared. In church, I cried out to our Lord and Savior. And I got my eyes on him. And ever since then, I feel like I've been walking on the water. I feel like his glory has come upon me. And sometimes it's a baby step. Sometimes it's a bold step. Sometimes it's a scared step. But as long as my eyes are on him in bold faith, it's a step. And I can see his glory. So church, in this moment, this is when we bring whatever is our struggle, whatever is our battle, and I don't know what it is for you. It may very well be cancer. It may very well be like me. You need to get in alignment with the Lord. It may be that your marriage is kind of on its last thread. It may be that your dreams have died. I don't know what it is, but I do know that the Savior is here right now. I do know that if you take a step towards him, and if you say, Lord, please get in my boat, that he has the power to get you to your destination immediately. So church, in this moment, I want to open up the altar. And if there's anyone who wants to let Jesus in your boat and have faith that right now, today, whatever you're battling against, whatever is the storm, he will calm it immediately. I want you to come to the altar right now. Right now. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we worship you. Lord, we magnify you. And as you come to the altar, I just want you to start crying out to the Lord. Oh God, help me. Oh God. Oh God, I need you. Oh God, I'm walking towards you in bold faith. I believe that right now you're gonna heal me. I believe that right now you're gonna transform me. Oh Father, I thank you in advance for this. Oh Father, I praise you, Lord. In church, as you are here in faith, I just want to encourage you. Can you imagine, with all of the faith in the room, what the Lord can do? What the Lord can do? It's gonna happen. Just let the waymaker through. He's gonna move. He's gonna move. Can you imagine? Yes, Lord. With all of the faith in the room, what the Lord can do?
what the Lord can do. It's gonna happen just like the way they can.
Give it
do.
To the Lord.
He's
just give it to
move.
The Lord.
He's gonna move.
One more time.
Can you imagine with all of the faith in the room?
You
what
want
the Lord
love.
Can do. If he did it then, what he'll
give
go
it to
ahead.
The Lord right now.
It's gonna happen.
Anything is possible.
Just like the way
anything is possible.
He's gonna move.
Right now, Lord God, your word says that all who are burdened and heavy laden, come to me and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I see burdens lifting right now. I see weight lifting right now. Hallelujah. Father, we come before you right now in faith. And whatever we have brought to the altar, some have brought a cancer diagnosis to the altar. I pray that they are healed in the name of Jesus. Some have brought a broken marriage to the altar, Lord God. I pray that cold hearts have turned warm in this moment, Lord God, and have turned back towards each other. Lord, some have brought a broken dream to the altar. Oh, Lord God, I pray a dream is alive again right now. Some have even brought, Lord God, an addiction to the altar. I pray it's broken in the name of Jesus. It cannot stay anymore. Lord God, in bold faith, Lord God, we believe, Lord, you are moving right now. And Lord God, as we let you in our boat, Lord God, that we pray for immediate healing, immediate transformation, an immediate turnaround, Lord God. And we pray that we will walk boldly, Lord God, with faith, Lord God, into our destiny, into our purpose, Lord God. It is so, it is done. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen.